Sinai, the proof of Sinai. Now, without Sinai, it's nice philosophy, okay, but perhaps, maybe, that's not enough. I'm asking a question, Akira. Okay? So, Avraham Avinu seems to be a raya that you don't, that a person does not need the support of Sinai. That's good. That's great. I'm just saying you need a raya for it. It's good raya. Okay. But the thing is, I would just qualify that with one qualification. That it depends on the level of the Tzelem Elokim. In other words, the idea demands a certain kind of apprehension by the soul. So it could very well be that a certain individual can apprehend the idea very clearly without the raya from the Masorah, but perhaps an average person would not be able to do that. I mean, I'm just saying it's not... It is not a 100% clear, because you see that there are requirements and stipulations over here, not just for a person to say the same Matsirishon, you know, like God created everything. That's not enough. So there are requirements, and that's a question. You see, it can be done from Avraham Avinu. Can be done. Okay. Let's go on a little bit further. The ideas davar zeh mitzvah seish ne'emar Hashem lekach. Now, so that's one mitzvah. Okay. Now he says, now you have a Rambam that is very, very ambiguous. B'chol ha'mala al daito sheyesho meloka acher chutz mizeh. Anyone that entertains the thought that there is another God besides this one, what exactly? Now that could have two meanings. It could mean he's identifying another God. Which means, let's say he says he believes in a physical God, so that's not the description of the previous God. Okay, so therefore that's not good. That could be one alakacha, one meaning alakacha. But another meaning is alakacha chutz mizeh, means that he believes in the God as described above. Okay, but he thinks there's something else besides, another force. Okay, another force, a sub force, sub God. It's difficult for the Lashon Rambam to say what exactly he means. I mean, the words is a double entendre. It can mean either way. But take a look at... Excuse me? In other words, either you could say he mean... The pasuk that he quotes would seem to mean the second one. Because he says... What does he say? He says, Shenema lo yilacha lehim acherem alponai. Alponai means in my presence. That means to say, beside, alongside me. Right? Alongside, okay? Yeah. Okay. So now you're going to have a little bit of a problem. Because if that's what the Rambam means, he's like this. He says, over below Sase, he says, the kofer bo'ikar, shezehu ho'ikar ha'godl sha'kol toliba. Now, if it means the second way, so why is it really, why if he believes that, is he a kofer bo'ikar? I mean, I say no, he believes in the ikar, but he believes that this God, as described above, appointed or gave powers to another force. So why is he kofer in the entire ikar? Okay? All right? Understand the question? That's the question. Possibly, yilucha lehim acherem aponai, is really a description of Avodah Zarah, basically. That's the Avodah Zarah. The genuine of the Avodah Zarah believed in one God, but they had sub-deities. They worshipped sub-deities. Okay. So, that's my question. Now, let's leave that question alone, okay? Let's go further. Next halacha. Next halacha is Zion. Eloka ze echod hu ve'eno shnayim v'lo yeser al shnayim. Elo echod she'ein ki yichudo echod mino achodim hanemtsoim ba'olam. Lo echod kimin shu kol el achodim harbei, v'lo echod kiguf shu nechlek l'machlok asuluk tzavos. Okay, so he says, in other words, what the Rambam is saying is that there's two, we find in our mind perceives two types of oneness. One is in the world of ideas, and one is in the physical. In the world of ideas, you have a concept. Concept embraces many things. Okay, it's one concept. Okay, and then in the world of the physical, you have a substance. So the Rambam says God's oneness is not like either one of these. Okay, he's not one like a concept is one, because a concept is one, but a concept is intrinsically related to many things, and God's oneness is not related to anything. Okay, So it's a different kind of a universal. There's a universal that's drawn out of particulars. So the particulars are related to the universal. So the one is related to the many. But God is unrelated to anything. So therefore, his oneness is not like the oneness in the world of ideas, nor is it like the oneness in the physical world of substance. That's basically what Rambam is saying. Okay. Saying this like this, it's not like any like a oneness in the world of ideas or a oneness in the world of substance. Physical. That's what he's saying. Okay. Nicely like this. He says, but go for it. Like this. Now he goes into a proof, sort of. Elo hoyu elohos harbe. If there were many, hoyu gufin ugrios, they would have to of necessity be what? Physical. Mibnei shein ha-nimnin ha-shoven b'mtzi uson. Anything which is the same in essence cannot be separated, nifrodin, cannot be distinguished, zemizeh, cannot be distinguished one from the other. Ela b'mo'oroin shi'oro b'gufos v'gvios. So the only way you could distinguish between something that has one essence is by the fact that the essence exists in two physical entities. Okay? Vilu haya yotzer gufu gvio, and if he were a gufu gvio, haya lo keis v'tachlis, shi'ef shalios guf shein lo keis. Okay, so what is he saying? So, right? V'chol shi'yesh lo gufu keis v'tachlis, yesh lo kocho keis v'sof. V'lo keino baruch shmo, ho v'kocho in lo keis, v'in a posik, sh'rea gagol sov v'tamid, again, infinite, ain kocho koch guf. Okay. In other words, he's not subject. God is not subject to the category of quantity. Quantity is the most basic category after substance. Okay. Every substance is subject to the category of quantity. God is not subject to the category of quantity. That's what he's saying. Okay. So, is there a question here or not? In other words, the question like this. How many mitzvahs are we discussing here? One or two? Take a look at the Caceres. Mitzvah achas leida sheyesham alakav. That's one. Mitzvah beis shelo yale b'machshova sheyesham alakav acher zulosi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Two. Three. Gimel. Liyachada. Okay, so there's three mitzvahs. Three. Not one, three. Okay. So now you see the question. The first mitzvah demands what? The way the Rambam defined it, demands not, a person cannot be mekayim the first mitzvah if he thinks what? If he has in mind a physical substance. That's not God. That simply doesn't fill the requirement in any sense. That's it. He's finished. There's no sheikhs to the mitzvah, correct? Okay. And also the aspect of what? If a person believes that, which is basically tied to the same concept, the aspect of infinity, right? I mean, if a person thinks that God is finite, so then he's back in the same problem with the physical, that's not the mitzvah, okay? That's the Rambam already explained in the first mitzvah. So how could you have another mitzvah liyachado, which would mean I could be mekayim the first mitzvah without being mekayim the second mitzvah? It's an impossibility. Because if I'm mekayim the first mitzvah, that means I have to believe in God. It means the real God. The wrong description, that's not God. Certainly, lakacha zulaz the highest level. So therefore, it would seem that it's impossible, okay, it's impossible to be mekayim the first mitzvah and not to be mekayim the third mitzvah. So it's superfluous. What are you the third mitzvah for? The mitzvah of liyachado. Liyachado is basically Rambam's lush, exact same thing with the goggles of atonement, infinite and physical, same, the same thing. Okay? That's the problem. They're two distinct mitzvahs. If it were one mitzvah, I'd say fine. So the Rambam's elaborating, showing you, fine. But if it's two separate mitzvahs, that means you've got to show me that I could do one without the other. Now, how is it possible not to be mekayim the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem and simultaneously be mekayim the mitzvah of Sheyesh Malaka? Right? Okay. The Yediyas. Listen to the Rambam. The Yediyas Dovor Ze Mitzvah Sasei. See the Rambam says? He says after the first mitzvah. He says, in Halacha Vav, after the first mitzvah, the Yediyas Dovar Ze Mitzvah Sasei. And at the end of Halacha Zayin, The idiyas dovar ze mitzvah sase. What does Ram mean? He means the knowledge of this proof is a mitzvah sase. That's what he means. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, if a person will say that God is non-physical and God is infinite, okay? But you'll ask him, can you prove to me that he's one? And he'll say, I can't prove it. He's not Mekayim Achdus. Yediyas Dovar Zed, a Rambam is saying, this very proof, that's a mitzvah sasei. To understand the proof, and the proof is that you can't, that something, when you're discussing an essence that's non-physical, it's impossible to have more than one. That idea that the Rambam says, Yediyas Dovar Zed, is mitzvah sasei. You must know that. That's how you keep the kind of the first mitzvah, not the second one. The third one, okay, right? You understand what I mean? The second I say. Because the halacha, and again, it's in line with what we said, with what we were saying, namely, that the mitzvah, these mitzvahs are not just not something that a person is mekayim with just a superficial thing, like you'll say, yeah, God created everything. That is not even, just God created everything is not, you can't call him a kofer, he's a maimon, but he's not mekayim the first mitzvah. And certainly not the second mitzvah, the third mitzvah, liyachado. You understand what I mean? So it means to say, what Rambam means to say is, you must know this proof. You must know this proof. Hashem al-ken Hashem achad is another statement which has to be based on some kind of idea of knowledge. And if you don't have this proof, and you can't, and someone would approach you and ask you, and you can't answer, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. Okay? It's an interesting thing. First mitzvah mekayim? First mitzvah mekayim? First mitzvah is to be able to say that the observable world is traceable directly to an infinite source. Okay? Yeah, that's correct. But then if you say, well, I never thought, what about if that source can be one? I never thought about that. That's something I didn't go into. I don't think about that. Okay? You're kind of the first mitzvah. One of the kind of it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. But that's a vague statement. In other words, if he thinks about many gods, obviously it's not Mekayim the first mitzvah, because that's not God. Okay. But if he thinks about one God, but you ask him, can you prove it, he doesn't have anything to say. Never thought about it. It's a good point. Never thought about it. He's not Mekayim the Yechad Hashem. Okay? It's an interesting thing. Excuse me? He has to say there's one God. Yeah, it has to say. No, I wouldn't say it's not sure. No, he just can't prove it. What do you think? The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. Of course, you know he has a similar, very similar. The two are one after another, obviously. First and second. He says, "Hu atzivu shetzivonu b'hamonas hayichud. Hu shenamin shepoel hametzios v'siboso harishono echad." Ki hem omen kdeil kabel of malchus shamayim. Rotzalomar ha-hodo b'yichud v'hamonaso. It's an amazing thing, Ram. Okay? Avida Ram said mitzvah. He's just telling you briefly that there is a mitzvah. He's a minion of mitzvahs. He's not telling you what it is. But he doesn't spell it out like he spells it out in the end. But he tells you the importance of the mitzvah. See, where his minion of mitzvahs tells you the importance of the mitzvah. Over here, telling you what it is. But over here, it's an interesting thing. What is it? It's an amazing thing. Al minas liyachid es shemi. Okay? And he says, "Chaol is Chazal." Rotsim b'zeh ma'imar nachnu amlem hotzionu me'abdus v'aso imanu mashe osu v'chasonu v'tolos al tenai ha'amonas hayichud. Okay, ki anachnu mechuyovim b'zeh v'harbe mashe yomru mitzvah hayichud v'ikur gam kenzos ha'mitzvah malchus shemayim k'imam k'de l'kabel lov malchus shemayim rotsalom ha'adol b'yichud v'manasa shemayis ol shem ha'kenesh ochad. That's a kabel zon. Amazing thing. What does it show you? Shows you that this second step of knowledge is, and that's really the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. Because the Navi says, the Navi says that Milo Yerocham al Hagayim, even the Bazar had a guy. But Klal Yisrael is the only one that knows the proof of the Yichud, which means that's a separate step of knowledge. It means to say, not simply to say that you believe in one God, but to know the difference that's based upon the very notion of God, which by definition is differentiated from anything that we perceive in the universe. That step, that next step, only Klal Yisrael made. That's the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. That next step in thought. And that's Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. That's Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. It's an amazing thing. Kabbalah Samach, I mentioned many times, Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim is completely different than anybody would imagine. Because think, Anima Kabbalah Latzmi, that would be Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. No. It's the concept of Yichud Hashem. That is the ultimate Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. That's an answer. It's clear from the Halacha. It means that idea, the knowledge of that idea, is something which puts an individual in a state of awe. And that's the greatest Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. It's an amazing thing. Is the rest of the world may have got the idea of one God. Milo Yirocho Melech HaGoyim. Okay? But Klal Yisrael, not just a vague notion, it is worked out with the mind's eye viewing that concept in a way that it sees clearly that this idea of necessity means it's differentiated from any kind of accidents that befall the physical world, and essentially it has a oneness which we can't approach. That idea, Yedias Davar Zemitzah say, and that's the uniqueness according to the Rambam of Klal Yisrael. It's an amazing thing, amazing concept, which is precisely it's in line. It's sort of dragging out further, extending further the concept that we said yesterday. Namely, that the Rambam had an interesting perception of these mitzvahs. The Rambam's idea of the mitzvahs is not just facts. You see, the idea was the grasp of the soul, the apprehension of the soul of these concepts. That's the nature of the mitzvah. And that's why the first mitzvah, Leidashe Yeshem Alakam Otsui, and the second mitzvah, say Yichud Hashem, are differentiated, separated into two different mitzvahs. Because the principle of the Rambam is that it's not simply reciting facts. That's Lahavdil Goyim have such a catechism. Huh? We don't have such an idea. It means the soul must apprehend it. And therefore, if a person is confronted with a question, this God, he could be the greatest scientist, And he could believe in he could believe that he sees from the universe, he sees that there must be an infinite source, a non-material infinite source. And you ask him, but is that source, is that one or two? I never thought about that. Then he's not, the apprehension is not there. There's no Yichud Hashem. It's an amazing thing. It means not just to know the idea, but it must be apprehended and thought about. The mind's eye must focus on it. And that's only Klal Yisrael. Only that's Almanasli Yachid Eshimei. That's what Rambam is. Amazing. One mitzvah, that's simple. One mitzvah is Yediyas Dovar Zeh. Okay? That person knows it. But then there's a separate halacha to enunciate it twice a day. That's a ma'aseh mitzvah. It's a ma'aseh mitzvah. Different mitzvah. If you don't understand that, obviously you can't do it. That is Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly all the tefillos in Rosh Hashanah. The Yedek HaPorka Tofiel, the Yavin Kod Yatsa Ketetza, all those, Al Kinnikav HaKadosh Hashem HaKadosh Hashem. It means these ideas. These are the ideas. Okay? And when a person apprehends that, then he has the true Yira. It says, okay, so up to that point you can say fear, right? But what does it say? Which means it must emerge. That's not fear. It's a different kind. It's an awe. It's a thing that pachtacho and more over there is yiras haromamus. By Kabbalah, yiras haromamus. That's what it means, Yisrael Ramos. It means that is the greatest Kabbalah. That's it. Okay. But that means that you must make the next intellectual step, which is the denial of the proof and the knowledge that God is intrinsically not subject to quantity. You must have that idea clearly embedded in your mind, and that is that's the mitzvah. That's the next step. You see, that step though is a very, very important step. And the mind focusing on that idea gives it, that's the uniqueness of the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. According to Yahadus, no one can have the correct apprehension of God and not simply just conform with his will. It's impossible. It's impossible. Okay? In other words, the only reason you can have two triangles is because one triangle is over here, another triangle, one triangle is in this piece of wood, and another one is on that bridge. So you can have two triangles, you see? But you can't have two triangles, Rambam says, you can't have two triangles if it's not incorporated in the physical thing, because there's only one idea of triangle. So when you're dealing with a concept, it's impossible to differentiate. You can't differentiate one from the other unless it partakes of the physical. That's what it means. It's interesting. The Rambam proves that God's not subject to quantity. You see, but the first part of the Rambam, he just states that he states. Let's see. But the main idea of Rambam is what the Rambam says. I'm not going to go any further, but the main idea of the Rambam is that the Rambam is saying that the idea is dovar zeh. It's what this knowledge of this halacha is the mitzvah zeh. It's interesting. Now the lav, there's only one lav, but there's two mitzvahs zeh. And now you can see precisely why I had to be that way. Because the lav, you don't need more than one. Because the lav says very simply, the lav says, even if you believe that there, I'm saying the meaning of the Rambam is la'yilcha le'machar panai. Even if you should believe in a sub deity, that's it. You're kafir bigger because your thinking is corrupt. You follow? In the negative, you're going to be destroyed if you have the slightest imperfection. So that's why in the law you only need one. Even if you think that there is something else alongside God, that means your reasoning is improper, then that's it. You're kafir bigger. But in the mitzvah saseh, you can have two. Because the mitzvah saseh is the positive apprehension of these ideas. So you can apprehend something, but you never thought about the next step. You see, it's a vague kind of intuitive knowledge, no good. You see? But in the negative, you only need one. Because the moment your thinking is distorted, then you cuff a baker. That's it. That means the area, if a person thinks, a person came to the conclusion that there's a sub-deity, that means his thinking in this area is corrupt and has no value, he's a complete kafir bigger. You see? If, however, in mitzvahs asay, where the mitzvahs asay is apprehension and focus of the mind on certain things, there you have two levels. He thinks of one God, but he never thought about the question of Achdus Hashem. Okay, so there you can say in kind of first mitzvah, but not the second. But in the negative, it's impossible. Because the moment he draws the conclusion that there's a sub-deity, that means his thinking is distorted. Once his thinking is distorted in the area, then he's finished. Then it's kafir bigger. So it's exactly why you need three, why you have three mitzvahs, one lav, and two asays. Is it? Make that clear. In the lav, if he posits a sub-deity, then that means he can't become the other mitzvahs either. Because it means his thinking doesn't qualify, period. So he's a kofer biker, that's it. Because the whole mitzvah means a certain kind of apprehension. But if his thinking is intrinsically not thought, that's it, he's kofer biker. The lav is a disqualifier. Okay. That's why the Rambam says the kofa be'ikar. Says don't make a mistake to think that this is a little. He's just over one law, but he can mekayim the other two. That's exactly really that. Now that you raised the question, I mean, that's what the Rambam is saying. That's why he says the kofa be'ikar.
Not just over Balav and Kofa Bikam is his guy. He's out of these three mitzvahs. He has nothing to do with it. Where's Besmi Kofa? Cool and everything. Okay. Okay, so now let's see what the contradistinction between the similar kind of ideas that you find in the beginning of the Ram Sefer, in Novos Sefer Torah, and the ideas you find in Tshuva. They sound the same almost, but somehow they're a little different, they're cast a little differently, okay? Yeah. So I wanted to find precisely what that is, okay? Yeah. So the thing is like this, that what the Rambam did was, the Rambam categorized, differentiated between Hilchas Tshuva and Hilchas Yesodei HaTorah. Let's say, to take this out and say, between Hilchas Tshuva and the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. There's a difference. What is the difference? The difference is that Avas Hashem is really, nowhere does Ram mention in Avas Hashem anything about Hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't say anything about it. Whereas a person can mekayim the mitzvah of Avas Hashem without any knowledge of the Hashgacha. Alright? He has Yedias Hashem, and he could have Achdus Hashem, and he could have, Achdus Hashem doesn't have anything to do with Hashgacha. Achdus Hashem, and Avas Hashem, and Bruv and Ephloim, and the whole thing. But that has nothing to do with Hashgachas Hashem. It's a separate mitzvah. But now when the Rambam approached Hilchas Tshuva, the Rambam said just the opposite. Just the opposite, meaning Hilchas Tshuva has everything to do with Hashgachas Hashem. That's really the most basic premise in the whole Hilchas Tshuva. That Hilchas Tshuva has nothing to do with the framework. I can't say nothing to do because everything is Yisod of Gadol Shekol Tov, but I mean in specific, okay? With the framework of Yedias Hashem of the Hilchas Yisod HaTorah. In other words, what I mean is like this. That theme goes straight through the Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva from the very beginning to the end. And the beginning where the Rambam says that Tshuva is Ono Hashem, okay? What it means is like this. It means, let's say, for instance, a person is, let's envision a person that's a philosopher, okay, that knows, okay, that Yesha Malakam Matsui, and he knows that there are no sub-deities, and he knows, and he understands the proof of Yichud Hashem, okay, and he's Makayim Avas Hashem. Okay, according to the Rambam, that person would not be able to do Tshuva. Just based on, just given those disorders, he can't do Tshuva. So then, why can't he do Tshuva? Why not? Why can't a person can make a mistake? He sees Avas Hashem, and he sees that this is the whole essence of life, and this is the greatest thing, and he sees. He yesterday went to a baseball game. He wasted a day. So he's a shav, have charata. And I'm sorry I did that. It was ridiculous. I wasted my time. I could have gained more ideas. I could have been closer in terms of my Yedias Hashem. It was a big mistake. Big mistake I made. I could have been, when I say closer, I mean I could have had a greater apprehension, greater knowledge. I would have a greater, better life. My personality would be different. I wasted my time. I wasted a day. I wasted a year. I mean, why can't he be doing Tshuva? According to Ram, that's not Tshuva. As the Ram says, that is not Tshuva. That's simply a person that realized he made a mistake. Nothing to do with Tshuva. You say, why? Because according to the Rambam, Tshuva is based on a different dimension. It's a different dimension. Tshuva. Loshuv El Hashem, and I'm going to talk around it, so don't hold me to any phrases I say, because in the process, you know, certain phrases may not really be correct, but I'm using them just to come around the Inyan, travel around the Inyan, you know what I mean? Okay. Let me approach it from this way. Right? The Yesod, I'll approach it from two aspects. One is the practicality of Tshuva. Okay, here I'm going to be like very mundane in a sense, all right? And the other aspect is the essential ideas of Tshuva, the essence of Tshuva. But I want to approach from both aspects, okay? I'll start with a simple one, the practical, all right? Yadis maintains that a person has Bechira Chofshis, and a person can exercise this Bechira Chofshis to improve his life or to ruin his life. Okay? But Yehadis maintains that the scheme of existence is not just limited to that. Because there still is one problem. The problem is that a person, it's true that the exercising of the Bechira is an internal process, but there's another problem in reaching perfection. And that is that there's a world of chance that a human being finds himself in. And this world of chance can disrupt the process of Bechira. So therefore, a person can be excellent at Bechira, but if the world of chance is against him, he's not going to be able to do it. Okay? Essentially, the area that we have least control, or practically least control over, of course, is the world that has to do with the person's physical well-being. Okay? I mean, whether a person's rich or he's poor, he has this kind of psychological profile, that kind doesn't really matter that much, as long as it's not illness. See, illness is an area where, aside from illness, you could probably say generally, aside from illness, a person's bechira will help him in every area. But what can a person do when he's subject to physical illness? Can't do anything about it. Okay, he's caught. Of course, that's the major one. And that's why I think the Torah mentions Ki Ani Hashem Rafecha. And in the brachas it says the brachas will be in terms of health. And in the klolas, it's the machaloyim royim adam. Because what it means is that's the main area where a person thinks of the ashgacha. Of course, the ashgacha is prominent in areas which are not on the surface as visible as illness. That's the illness is the surface visible as a surface visibility. But there are other areas that are even more important. Okay, that work the same way, and that is the main area, the area of knowledge. The area of knowledge is dependent upon chance. It's dependent upon who you encounter. It depends upon the society you're raised in, the group that you're in, the era you live in, all the different particulars, the world of particulars. You can have wonderful, a person can be very good internally at exercising the Bechira, but he never heard of an idea, he never encountered, he was raised, he's a Yanomami in South America. I mean, his Bechira is worthless, okay? So Bechira, even more than the physical, I mean, physical is directly visible, but even more important, a person's exercising of Bechira is dependent upon chance to the greatest degree. And that's something which a person has no control over. Has no control over. An individual has no control over. Of course, a person that's in a fortunate society, in a fortunate situation, doesn't think about it. But truth of the matter is, if you think about it, you have to say that. What is he different than somebody who was born in Africa? I mean, he happens to be lucky, fortunate. Okay? So Bechira Chofshis, that's the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. That until that time, there was no Bechira because they didn't have the opportunity to exercise Bechira. Because you don't know, you're raised in a society where it's useless. There's no function. So therefore, Yehadus maintains that Bechira Chofshis is only the beginning, the first element, the internal element that can lead a person to perfection. But there are externals as well. So what does Yehadus have to say? So philosophers, Aristotle said that's it. It's the world of chance. That's the way it goes. Okay? So a person that becomes, according to Aristotle, becomes a Plato or a Socrates is fortunate. Okay, and there's nothing more to talk about. That's it. Yehadus maintains, no, that there is the concept of ashgach, which means to say that if a person exercises his bechira on a primary level in the proper way, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up the world of particulars for him, opens up a world of particulars, of events and experiences that allow him to exercise that function to the greatest degree, insofar as his level is. Okay? That's what the Rambam explains in what the Perek, which Perek is that? Kolobotah, HaTorah in Perek Shmini, Perek Tshi, okay, that's the brachas and the klolas. That's what the Rambam says. He says, what are the good, what's the good? He says, Shem Nazav HaTorah Midas V'Nasok Bavli Azman Shedayin HaEmes Yosir Min HaOzvim Kol Tovo Salam HaZeh Shem Choski Dem Livot U'Mevi Lem Kol HaRos HaMonin Osam Miliknos HaOlam HaBo Kedei SheYovdu Barisham. Okay, and the opposite. And the opposite is true as well. That the v'tichon b'torah she nasa also b'simcho v'tovas nefesh v'nega b'chachmas atomid she yosir mimena kol advar v'mona mosan milas also k'gan chuli u'molchama v'rav v'kiyotze ba. Okay, all these things. All right. V'yashpil on the kol tozem achzikos yisidin lasas atorah k'gan sova v'sholom v'ribu kesef v'zov k'leish lo nasa kol yameinu b'dvar m'shaguf tzarach lahem. Okay, that's the whole idea, which means to say that Bechira is very nice, but the idea of a self-made man is totally nonsensical, because it's a whole world of chance. It's only an arrogant person that could have the consequence. There's so much chance, it's ridiculous. Okay, if a person would really think of all the chances involved, I mean, his very existence is chance. Okay, so what Yehadis maintains is that the exercising of Bechira properly, and even in a small way, that's what Chazal say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you, that Pischuli kepesach shel machat, v'ani eftach kepesach shel ulam. In other words, if you make the first, the exercise the Bechira properly in the smallest manner, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up the world of events and experience, that the person can increase and augment his Bechira, and he's zoch l'chayelam abor. That's basically the yesod of Yohanes, you see. So really, what the Rambam is saying is that tshuva belongs to that realm. In tshuva, what is a person seeking? And here I'm speaking on a mundane level. In tshuva, what is a person seeking from God? What is he looking for? His bechira is not looking for. Bechira he has. That's right, that's embedded in the soul. What he's looking for on a practical level is the world of particulars should be arranged and organized for him so that he can walk through it in a way that he can use the Bechira, and he can increase his attainment of the good and bizoch l'chay l'am abo, and increase his chay l'am abo. Okay? That's really what a person is looking for in tshuva. See? So tshuva on a practical level is not based upon the first yisaros. I mean, everything's based on the first. You understand what I mean? It's not essentially, because the first yisodos, you see, you have nothing to do with. The first yisodos is simply a philosopher, a chacham, a great chacham. Okay? But in tshuva, what a person is trying to accomplish is he's trying to invoke the Ashgochas Hashem. That's on Hashem. He's trying to invoke the Ashgochas Hashem. Okay? Just a second. So if a person simply decides he made a mistake and he wasted his time yesterday, but he has no concept of Ashgacha, he's not approaching God as the source of arranging the world of particulars, you see, that has nothing to do with tshuva. He made a mistake? Yeah, okay, he made a mistake, and he's correcting the mistake. But that is not tshuva, you see. Tshuva is on Hashem, is where the person is requesting from God the Hashgachas Hashem. See, that's his practical. That's his practical motivation in tshuva. You see, that's his practical motivation in tshuva. You see? Yeah, that's how I said it. In other words, what I'm saying is, there's the natural realm in which man lives. The natural realm. That's his sod Torah. That, and then over there, a person say he made a mistake in the natural realm. That's not do tshuva. What's up? Tshuva is on Hashem. Tshuva is where a person is engaging in the realm of Ashgacha. That's the only realm where tshuva exists. That's what the Rambam posits, basically. That's why tshuva is always on Hashem. Otherwise, tshuva, they made a mistake. You understand what I'm saying? You see? Okay. Now, I'll explain to you. It goes deeper. I'm just trying to draw the practical, okay? Now, hold on a second. Okay. Of course, when you speak about the practical, when you speak about the world of events and Ashgacha, so what are you talking about, basically? What are you talking about? You're talking about Mishpat. That's the world, that's a Malach HaMishpat. That's the world of Mishpat. The world of Mishpat is the world of Ashgacha. The world of Mishpat is not the world of Sheshimei Breshis. That's Olam Kiminoga Noeg. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world, it works that way. People have Bechira, there's that, everything. That's Yisodei HaTorah. You follow? The world of Ashgacha, essentially, what does Ashgacha mean? It means God judges. That's Mishpat. You see? So now you see that Mishpat and Tshuva are integrally related. You can't separate one from the other. Because Tshuva is in the realm of the Ashgacha, and what is the essence of the idea of Ashgacha is Mishpat. You see? You follow? Okay. So now you see why the Rambam in Perek Gimel is an essential in Hilchos Tshuva. Okay? Because it deals with the concept of Mishpat. Alright? Now what the Rambam says is one more thing. The Rambam says one more thing. And that is, it's not enough to just recognize Mishpat. That there is Mishpat. There is Mishpat. But you must have knowledge of the Mishpat in order to engage in tshuva. You can't just, since Mishpat is the realm of tshuva, because Mishpat is the realm of the Ashgacha, right? So you cannot really engage in tshuva unless you have an understanding of the Mishpat. Because otherwise, how are you going to perform the mitzvah? You have no concept of what the area is. So the Rambam says that in order to understand the realm of Mishpat, you must understand not only that there is Mishpat, but you must understand what it means, the particulars of the Mishpat as well. You must understand who God condemns. Who is condemned through Mishpat, and the distance that person has from the realm of Ashgacha. You follow what I mean? In other words, you must. It's not enough just to say there's Mishpat and just to say on Hashem. A person must have a knowledge and an understanding of those elements which place him favorably in the world of Mishpat and unfavorably in the world of Mishpat. So he must understand, in other words, he must understand the world of Mishpat in order to be involved in Tshuva, because Tshuva relates to that world, and if you don't understand that world, you have no place in the whole system of Tshuva. It's not enough just to, otherwise the Tshuva simply made a mistake. That's Yisodei HaTorah, that's not Tshuva. You must understand this realm so you know how to approach God and you know what the Mishpat is, and you must understand those who are... That's what the Rambam has both, basically. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, he has those who are condemned, Rishoyim, Nidunim, V'nevodim, La'olam, 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 and then in the last parak, what does he have? He has those who are on the highest level. Okay, Oved Me'avah. You must know... These are the things you have to know. Who is distant from God in terms of Mishpat? Who is close to God? Of course it is true that the world of particulars, is organized according to the person's closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rambam says, that the Emeshaya is a Meruchot, Meshukot Vesoeva, Vayomu Korv Nechmod Vidid. You see? Oh, Venechmod Korv Vidid. So the Rambam is, that's what it depends upon. But that closeness and distance is, in order for a person to be in that realm, he has to understand the reality of Mishpat. And he has to understand this concept of Mishpat and the concept of those things which place a person favorably in the realm of Mishpat and unfavorably. He must know the understand, have a comprehension of the world of Mishpat, because that's the world of Hashgacha, and that's the world of Tshuva. That's the world of Tshuva. The world of Tshuva is not the natural realm. The world of Tshuva is Loshuv El Hashem. It means the person desires a closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that closeness results in the world of particulars falling out in a way that's favorable for him, so that he can continue to approach even further and to continue to augment his bechira and to increase his knowledge and his chachma and his chelek in olam haba. Okay, that is the desire of the individual, and he must comprehend. He must apprehend the system in which it exists. Otherwise, he has no concept of the world of Tshuva. The world of Tshuva is the world of Mishpat, and the way God relates to man, and who is close to God, and who's, by being close to God, his particular situation is such that it's favorable, and who's distant is not favorable. The whole system he has to understand. Okay? That's what Aram says, that the Elu Shehein Chosin V'Neva V'Nevodim V'Nidunin Begodol Rishon La'olam La'olam. He must know that. He must understand who in terms of Mishpat is the most distant, and what are those causes that make a person most distant. Okay, you follow? Okay, now let's take a look on that framework. You'll see that the Halacha Zayin, Pergim Halacha Zayin and Halacha Ches fit in very nicely. Now he's talking about the most distant ones, the ones that are furthest removed from Ashgacha, from the realm of Ashgacha. They are the furthest removed from God. So he says, Omar Shein Shem Alakah, Nein Lo Lamanig, Omar Shein Shem Manig, Avalin Shnaim, O Yeser, etc. All the five things. Alright? Now, over here the Rambam is not explaining. This is not Hilchas Yisod HaTorah, where he's teaching you intrinsically the apprehension of the correct notions. That's Hilchas Yisod HaTorah. Okay. Over here, he's in the who is furthest removed from God in terms of Mishpat, right? Now, this is not philosophy, in other words. What he's doing is, he is isolating that he cannot relate to God because he must have some connection to the physical. You see? And every one of those five is an expression of that. That's why there's no difference between Malach and between the first case. You see, these should be separate categories. Malach, okay, he's moda by Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he's looking for Melech. It means that every one of these five is an expression of a defect of the individual, that he simply must always have some kind of relationship to a physical deity, okay? And that's why Shnayim, because you see, for instance, if you study the primitive societies, I mean, in Yishayo, another means the one that Shtei Rishuyas. That's Shalayim Shtei Rishuyas, and the Tfilis, the Motzim Dash Shtei. Why Shtei Rishuyas? Because a person has a good side in his nature, and he has an evil side. So the Shtei Rishuyas is a projection outward of things which exist inside his psyche. See? That means he has to relate to something that's a part of himself. He can't relate to God, to the real God. You understand what I'm saying? The Melech can't relate to God because he must have some kind of a medium that this is what he can relate to. You see? So the every one of these things, you see, or if he says Shein Lo Lamanik, what does that mean? That means it's just the physical universe that I see. That's what the world calls the ultimate scientist. Okay, that means that just the physical, nothing else exists. That's it. That's all I've said. Okay, so that means he only accepts that which is observable, the observable world. That's all he accepts. Same thing. It's all the same underlying thing. The Chen Omer, Shu Bal Guf V'Tmuna. That's obvious. Okay, or Sheino Levado Harishim V'Tzulakol. It's the same kind of thing. It means he can accept partially, but he has a problem. There must be something else there, ultimate, besides this. Okay? It means the Rambam is every one of these. Here the Rambam's not explaining like in the Yisod HaTorah, he's showing you the idea step by step. He must grasp every little step. Over here, he's telling you this is why the individual is meruchok from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has this defect of personality. That's category one. Category two, the ones that are upper person, okay, the ones that are upper person, is an individual who he's not a man. He's not a man. In other words, which means to say that he believes in God. It's fine. That he has, it's fine. But what bothers him? She'ein sham nevuah klal, ve'ein sham mada shemagia me'aborei lelev b'nei ha'odom. Okay. Va'amakhish nevuasa sham Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'omer she'ein abore yodea ma'asei b'nei ha'odom. What is the defect over here? The defect is, you see, he can accept God, but he cannot accept the relationship between God and man. That's his problem. If people like that, they accept that as long as God is an abstract, it's fine. But that there's a relationship, and what, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually knows everything I'm doing, he's aware of every action that can be. He can't tolerate that idea, you see? And that's why he can't tolerate Nevuah. And that's why I can't tolerate the idea, the Nevuah Sashem Moshe Rabbeinu, because it means to say what he's saying is that, you see, it doesn't matter whether he says it because he doesn't think God relates to man, or if he says it because he thinks man is not capable or deserving of God's relationship. They give me either side of the coin. You understand? It doesn't matter why. It means that emotion is something which he can't overcome. He could say because, yeah, that God is so great that he can't have anything to do with man. Man is not great enough. That makhish nivosh nivosh shemosh rabbeinu means that a human being could never be that great. No human being can be that great. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's nivosh is qualitatively differentiated. Pel per dababa. So I could see that there could be a relationship with God, but not like that. Okay? So either because he says God doesn't, it doesn't matter whether he says God doesn't relate to man, or he says man is too small. Man is too small. He's a big honor. Man is too small, and therefore he can't tolerate the relationship. And that's why the same defect is he can't tolerate the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a day of machshavos. That's the same emotional kind of thing. And that's really what bothers him. That God knows everything. He can't tolerate that concept that everything he's doing is being observed by an infinite being. This is the source of all existence. He can't tolerate that idea. It's intolerable. He has to be free. He can't have that. That's the emotion of the second group, and the third group is another emotional profile. Ha'omar she'ein she'kof matar she'ein atar mi'm Hashem afilu pasukechad kofa bepirusha v'tosh lapeh and machish magideha and habori hichlof mitzvazu. It means to say there he can't tolerate the idea that the perfect system was given at a certain point, and this system is perfect, can't be changed. It is the ultimate perfection. The ultimate perfect system was given thousands of years ago. That can't be. That's impossible. That's the historian, basically. That's the historian. That's the emotion of the historian. That such a thing cannot be. You understand what I'm saying? That's the emotion that he can't have. That's a makrish magideo. There can't be, this Mesorah can't be correct because people make mistakes, and it must be that he said it because of this reason, and he said that because of another reason. It can't be that we today have the authentic ideas from Sinai. Impossible. Okay? Telephone conversation, all this stuff. That's the historian, the kfir of the historian. That's the third group. So basically, that's what the categorization in Nuchas Shuv is, a different type of categorization. You know what I'm saying? It's a categorization which is based upon a person must know who is meruchach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Hashgacha and who's karv HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So the categorization is based upon the classification according to the causes of the defects that make a person removed and distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not according to what are the ideas that have to be apprehended and the elements and the various facets and the perfection of perception that's involved in ideas. That's Hilchos Torah. That's not it. Okay, two different frameworks. Okay. Now let me just quick look at it. So now that we said that it basically tshuva, the concept of tshuva is not simply a person made a mistake. The concept of tshuva is a person's relationship to God in terms of the hashgacha, which is mishpat basically, and the person is desirous of having the situation where his bechira can be enhanced through Hashgacha, which is basically Kirv L'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So, of course, it involves himself, it involves the rest of the world, too. See? Now, that's why the Rambam's like this. The Rambam says that Afa Pishitkis, I'll tell you what. See, the Rambam in Dalet is really a continuation from before. I think you alluded to that at one point. So he says this. He says, Mishin imsa rasha nechton l'misa ben yaton so yom kippur mashivet. Now go this. In other words, what he's saying, what the Rambam has introduced over here, is that you cannot be involved in tshuva unless you understand the realm of mishpat. That's Per Gimel. Okay? Because mishpat is hashgacha, and tshuva is not the living the natural life. It's living the life that invokes the hashgacha. Okay? So therefore, what the Rambam is saying is like this. He tells you in Gimel, on the about the when God judges, which is annually, okay, annually means person that's the unit. Then it's like this. He says, and this idea really, the idea that it's Rosh Hashanah, you see, is expressed in the Tkiyas Shofar. That's Dalet, because first he posits that that's the way it goes, right? He says like this. Kach shokum b'chol shana v'shana, right? Okay. And then he says, and he says, in this concept, now he's explaining Agavocha something. That's true, but not only is it true, but it's actually inferred from a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar. Okay? That's the continuity there, okay? Now it's like this. Now he says, since you see that that a person is judged in units, unit of his life and unit of year. And you see also that the Torah thought it so important that it created a mitzvah tkiyas shofar, which actually points to that idea. And the Rambam is long, the tkiyas shofar in the Rambam is very long. I mean, there's a big, long statement there, okay? Which means, since that's the case, you see the importance of mishpat, and Yahadus made it clear from Tkiyas Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, all right? Since that's the case, he says like this, Tzorach kol odam sheyira atzma kol hashana kulu kil chetzi chai v'chetzi zekoi. V'chein kol odam kulo. Asa mitzvah chas, okay, right? What does it mean? It means like this. He means, see, a person worries about things in accordance with their significance. I mentioned this many times. It's like somebody said, why is a person worried about a shark in the ocean? Chances are so small, right? I mean, one in billions probably. But the reason is it's so horrible that you have to be concerned about it. a person will be concerned about something, and conversely, if something's very good, so even a small possibility is something to consider. Because the greatness of the benefit. That's it. Lefichach means since this is so significant, that and you see that the Torah even took a mitzvah which has a long remez, okay? So therefore, he says, a person must even consider the possibility that he's 50-50, and this one mitzvah is going to do it, and this one aveira is going to destroy it, because the Ashgachas Hashem is so significant that without that, you haven't got a chance. You have Bechira, but all the world of particulars is going to destroy you. So since that's so significant, okay, you must always consider the possibility that your machzah, one mitzvah can do it, one aveira can destroy it. You follow? That's the Lefichach. After he gets finished explaining about the fact that you judge, and then he says, not only that, but Tkiyas Shofar was niskan, it's a technical mitzvah, but it's remez yeshbo, and the Ram doesn't mean that there's any doubt about it, it's part of the mitzvah, actually, so it's a kiyum in the mitzvah, so since that's the case, so it's so significant, so you have to be concerned. And not only do you have to be concerned at the time of judgment, but even in the middle of the year, because now you're laying down the potential for the judgment. So even though the judgment doesn't come till the end of the unit, but if you did something which is machriya kol olam lekav schus, or the other way, that it means now you create a potential situation for judgment that can destroy the entire world. Even the potential you must be concerned about. That's what Ram says. Lefichach, tzorach kol olam shir atzmo kol hashana kula kilu chetzi chaya v'chetzi zakai. You see? Why? Because that's what he's saying. Lefichach is a big lefichach. Since, as we've explained, the significance of the concept of mishpat and hashgacha, And now, you see, it's such an important thing that a person has to even be aware of the possibility. Not only that, but the possibility that kol olam kulo is machza machza. He should think of even that. Maybe that's the case. Okay? That's why the Rambam says, and then he says, "Nei in ze nogu kol beisro laharbas bitstok of asachanunim and maisen tovim merashana gimmick from yeser mikol hashana." Why? Because that's the ace mishpat. Then it's not in potential anymore. Then it's actual. You see? Then it's actuality. So if in potential you have to be so concerned because of the significance of the mishpat, the significance of the ashgacha, and what it could mean in a person's life, chayalam haba, it's the ultimate. So therefore, certainly in the ace mishpat, the person must be concerned. Okay, then it's actuality. And that's why Kol Yisrael is knowing to do mitzvos and ma'asim, because to show the significance now is the ace mishpat. That's when a person should be concerned about that. That's the ultimate time to be concerned. And that's what Aram says before in Perek Beis. That's what it means. When he says that in Perek Beis Vav, afal pisha tshuva tzoka yafa la'olam basar yom shebein rashon yekru hu yafa b'yosem eskabal z'b'yosem. What does it mean? It means like this. It means that since in Hilchas Tshuva, what is necessary for Hilchas Tshuva? Knowledge of what Mishpat is, what Ashgach is, because that's the realm. Ono Hashem, that's the realm. The realm is the world of the Ashgacha, the world of a Malach Mishpat. So since that's the realm, and you must understand this realm, when a person is in actuality in the process of mishpat, and the mind apprehends mishpat as an actuality and a reality, that's when the tshuva is the greatest. Because then he's in the world of tshuva in the highest level. He's in the world of tshuva in terms of knowledge, that's called shana too. But in the world of tshuva, because he's preoccupied with tshuva, because now it's the ace mishpat. That kind of a tshuva emerges from knowledge and experience and involves the entire soul of a person, and that tshuva is the highest level of tshuva in this kabbalas miyat. But if it's not the ace mishpat, even though it's apprehended through the das, but the experience is lacking, then it is not the highest. It's not the highest level. That's what Ram said. So really, the that's what Ram means when he says that's why that zman is this man of. Is the true Zman of Tshuva. Because the reality of the Kadosh Baruch Hu being Yoshev B'Mishpat, that knowledge of that reality somehow or other summons up and makes more real to the individual the knowledge that he has in ideational knowledge. The ideational knowledge becomes alive. Experience is what makes a person think. I mean, all kinds of halacha, all kinds of halacha. You sit down, it's a meal, you don't know, you make this bracha, that. The world experience evokes chagim or adim, I mean, migdash, I mean, all the experience is something which brings into play the intellect, the mind, in a different way, especially when it has to do with his very life. So there, when it has to do with his life, and he has the realization of mishpat, that's when the ideas of mishpat are really summoned to the highest degree in the person's soul, and then the tshuva is a tshuva which has the highest degree of knowledge. That kind of tshuva is miskabels miyat. Okay. Yeah. The zman is not zman for Kadosh Baruch Hu, chalila. Zman for Adam. The idea of the sub-deity, the idea of Meshvah, the last point, the idea of the sub-deity is basically, I said, It means it's a defect. It's a primitive. It's a primitive defect. It belongs in the, somebody mentioned. It belongs in the categorization of Hilchos Tshuva. Really, it means that he cannot tolerate the idea of God in abstract. Okay, he can't tolerate that. So that means that such an individual is corrupt. In his basic defect in his character and his thinking is worthless. No, there's only one motivation of an individual.
No reason to assume
exactly. And if you do, you must be sick mentally, philosophically. So therefore, all this thinking is worthless.